Well, we want to talk about some spiritual math. And just like with regular math, there's addition and subtraction and multiplication and division, but in the spiritual realm it works a little differently. We're going to talk about division this morning. Jesus, of course, warns against division on several occasions. He says, "A house divided against itself cannot stand," making that statement, that axiom, that truth. He also prays in John 17. We've just finished studying John 17 in our Sunday night lesson. And in that prayer, he prayed for unity. He prayed that they may be one. So he prayed for unity and not division on that occasion. But then he also says things in his life like, "I came not to bring peace but a sword, to divide or to separate a man from his father-in-law or son-in-law or son, and a mother from the daughter-in-law," and so forth. And he says, I've came to bring division and not peace. And that's kind of a sad thing to think about, to say, Jesus came to bring division? Well, there are different types of division, and we want to look at some of those this morning. As we consider this idea of division, we want to begin with Philippians chapter 4 and verses 2 and 3, where Paul speaks of a couple of sisters who have some unusual names, Yodius and Syntyche. Probably haven't met many Yodiuses or many Syntyches in your life, but there were a couple in the church in Philippi, and apparently they were good ladies, good Christian ladies, but they had a problem. And the problem was that they were having a little bit of disagreement. And so he warns and begs, in fact. The King James says, "I beseech," but other translations say, "I'm begging Yodius and Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord." Now, he wouldn't need to beg them of that if they were already doing it. So apparently, they weren't living in unity and harmony together. Unity and harmony does not mean that we're exactly the same as everyone else. In fact, it's very important that we do have these distinguishing characteristics about ourselves. We look different. We talk different. We like different things. It'd be pretty boring if everyone in here was dressed in exactly the same outfit this morning. It'd be a very odd parking lot if everybody drove exactly the same car this morning. If everyone had exactly the same hairstyle. If everybody, that'd make for a boring world. God didn't intend that. He never intended for everyone to be just alike, or He would have created us genetically to be just alike. But He didn't. He created us each to be different. But just because we're different doesn't mean we have to have all of these divisions and all of these difficulties with getting along with one another. And then in verse 3 he says, "I entreat you also," a true yoke fellow is the way many translate it. Chances are this was actually this fellow's name. It was an odd one, just as odd as Yodius and Syntyche. But we translate it as true yoke fellow. You know how a lot of cultures have names that have meanings. Well, this was probably his name, but he's referred to by this term. He says, "Help those women who labored with me in the gospel, and with Clement also, and with my other fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life." So he says, these two women have helped me in the gospel, and their names are in the book of life. Help them get along with each other. Help them have unity and not division. Help them be of the same mindset. Now, of the same mind, again, does not mean that we think every thought that the other person thinks. It simply means that we have the same Christian mindset toward the way that we live our lives. And that's what he's begging these two women to do and to have, and he's begging this true yoke fellow, as he's called in most translations, to help them with that. You know, sometimes we have disagreements with one another. And sometimes we can solve those disagreements on our own. Sometimes we may need somebody else to come in and kind of help with the situation, kind of mediate that situation. Even in marriages sometimes, the couples need to go to counseling together to work out differences and disagreements and things like that. It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing for us to It's sad sometimes that we need as much help as we do, but when we need help, it's good to get that help that we do need so that we can be stronger. Aesop, in one of his fables, one of the morals to the fable, was "United we stand, divided we fall." You've probably heard that one before. It's very similar in many ways to what Jesus had said about a house being divided against itself shall not stand. But we definitely understand that there are certain aspects in which there has to be unity, and that if we're divided, we're not going to be able to hold together and work together. We're going to wind up completely separating from one another. However, having said that, as we think about division, some divisions, and we're going to look at three different categories of divisions. The first is that some divisions are necessary to please God. Now, we've spent a lot of time talking about, well, we need to be unified. We need to be of the same mind. God wants us to be divided? Are you sure about that? Yeah, I'm sure about that. Remember, we also said that Jesus talked about not coming to bring peace, but the sword. That He was going to divide families even among themselves. So there are some necessary divisions. We'll look at a few. The first is, we need to be divided from the world. We need to be separate from the world. In 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 17, Paul says, "Do not be unequally joined together with unbelievers. For what fellowship does righteousness have with unrighteousness? And what communion does light have with darkness? And what concord does Christ have with Belial? Or what part does he that believes have with an infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." There are sinful, worldly things out there that we don't need to take part of if we're going to follow Christ. And so we need to divide from those things. We need to be separated from them. So that kind of a division is a good division. We're dividing righteous and unrighteous actions, righteous and unrighteous thoughts, righteous and unrighteous beliefs and practices and speech, and on down the line. And of course, because of that, that's going to draw us to be in a situation where we're going to have to have some other separations as well. Another that's necessary for us to be pleasing to God is men and women dividing roles. You know, this is a situation where our country today is so confused. Our country today has gotten to the point where it doesn't recognize that there is a difference between men and women. God made that clear from the very beginning when He created them, male and female, that there was a difference. It didn't mean that one was better than the other. It didn't mean that He loved one more than the other, but just that they were different and they were going to serve different functions. In 1 Timothy 2, verses 11 and 12, Paul explains God's plan. "Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to have authority over the man, but to learn in silence." There's in the worship, in the church, there's a certain role for men and women. Doesn't mean God loves men more because He gives them the job of doing the public teaching and praying and song leading and those things. It doesn't have anything to do with who He loves more or who He thinks is better in any way. It's simply a division of roles. It's a division of jobs. Most of us either do or have worked in some occupation in our lives. And when we worked, or if we still are working, there are other people that work as well around us. But there's a division of the labor. There's a division of jobs. There's a division of roles within that company or organization on that job. And different people do different things. And we don't think, or at least we shouldn't think, that, well, you know, the boss doesn't love me as much because I have this job and this other coworker has this other job. We're assigned different jobs for different reasons. Sometimes it may be because of a talent we have. Perhaps sometimes it's because someone has gone to the trouble and expense of getting a certain education to do a certain thing, and so they're more skilled at that. Sometimes it's just a matter of experience. One person has been doing something longer, and so they have the experience and they can do it better. So that may be the case. Sometimes it's just a matter of somebody's got to do this job, and you were the one standing there when the boss looked up. Hey, go do that. Sometimes that's... And with God, there are different roles in the church. And He's assigned those roles to different people. Not everybody gets to be an elder. Not everybody maybe is the classroom teacher. Not everybody is the song leader. Not everybody's the teacher, preacher. You know, not everybody fills every single role. But that doesn't mean there's not a role for you to fulfill, to fill yourself up in serving God and to serve Him effectively. And one of the things, we think about this as well. Obviously, outside of the church, just for a moment, how many men do you know who've ever had a baby? Well, not a one of them. Now, most men, I've never heard one complain about that and say, you know, I wish us men could have babies, you know. But we've heard the women complain about having the baby so much, we don't want any part of that. But there again, God has assigned certain roles. Men can't have babies, and women can't be fathers. You know, it's just the way it is. And it's the same way then in the church, that He assigns certain roles. He gives certain tasks to certain people. And we need to accept that and understand that following His instructions on that is necessary if we're going to please Him. That we have to divide these things up the way He's divided them. And then we talked about separating from the world. That will lead us then to this, that is dividing obedient from disobedient. In Romans chapter 16 and verse 17, Paul says, "Now I beg you, brothers, mark those that cause divisions and offenses that are contrary to God's doctrine, which you have learned, and avoid them." Divide yourselves from them. Separate from them. In 1 Corinthians 11:19, we also read, "For there must be also heresies among you, so that they which are approved may be made manifest among you." Paul says there's going to need to be some divisions. You need to separate yourself from people that are troublemakers. It's interesting, isn't it? The ones that actually do the separating are not, in this particular passage in Romans 16, they're not the ones that caused the division. The ones that caused the division are at fault, but the ones that actually say, okay, look, you've caused a division here because you're walking contrary to the teaching of God. And so we're going to have to separate from you. We can't continue to be joined with someone who is working unrighteousness, who is working disobedience. We can't continue in that relationship. We have to separate and be pleasing to God at some point. And so it is here. He said, there's going to have to be some heresies. There's going to have to be these things. These false teachers are going to be made evident so that we can see who's really serving God and who's a liar and a hypocrite and a fake. And we need to be looking for that. We need to recognize that when we see it. And watch out for those that are causing people to divide by teaching different doctrines than what the Bible teaches. We need to be aware of those folks. And they are out there. They're all around us. But then another kind of division that's necessary to please God is rightly dividing the Word. In 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul says, "Study to show yourself approved by God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth." Now, that's the King James, rightly dividing the Word of truth. And what does he mean, dividing it? He's talking about splitting it up into books and chapters and verses, and, well, not really. Now, that is dividing it. But it wasn't divided in that way when Paul was writing this to them. That came much later. When he's talking about rightly dividing it, what he's really saying is we need to correctly understand it. We need to interpret it properly. We need to learn the difference, for example, in a command that's intended for us today and one that was intended for the Jews 4,000 years ago. We need to learn the difference and know which things are under the law of Christ and which things He did away with at the cross. We need to distinguish between Old Testament and New Testament. We need to distinguish between commands that are for men and commands that are for women, commands that are for parents and commands that are for children, commands that are for employers and commands that are for employees. You see, each of us has different commands that are specifically for whatever category we fall into. And it's interesting, like for example, part of rightly dividing the word is learning what things apply to us, like in the situation with a husband and a wife. The Bible has a lot to say to husbands about how they should treat their wives. The Bible has a lot to say to wives about how they should treat their husbands. But one thing that the Bible never does is tell the husbands to tell their wives how they ought to do, or to tell the wives to, you tell your husbands to look at these verses they ought to do. It always tells each one, you focus on yourself and here's what you do. It doesn't say you nag the other person until they do what they're supposed to do. You do what you're supposed to do. And certainly we want to encourage each other. Certainly we want to help each other. But we're not in the job of making other people do what God tells them to do. God tells us what to do, and we need to divide between the thing, oh, this one's for me. Okay, that one, you know, I'm not a mother, so this one doesn't apply to me. I'm not a, you know, I'm not a sister. This one doesn't apply to me. I'm not, you know, and we look at those things. And we decide, okay, is this me? Is this for me? And probably the clearest thing is if we look back to Genesis 6, God said, build an ark and this is the way you should build it. And then He gives all this big description, right? Three stories and it's supposed to be a, you know, 150 cubits long and, you know, all these things. All the different aspects of it. All the length and height and width and all these things. I said 150, it's 300 cubits long. Anyway, all these different things that He says. Well, the amazing thing about that is none of us are building an ark. Are you building? I mean, God commanded, build an ark. Why aren't you building one? Well, most of us are smart enough to realize that if we actually read that passage, God wasn't talking to us. He was talking to Noah. And someone today who started building a big boat in their front yard and said, well, yeah, I mean, you know, God said build an ark because He's going to send a flood, we'd say, hey, a little crazy. God wasn't talking to us. He said for Noah to do that, but that was thousands of years ago. Then after Noah did it, if we read a little further, then God put the rainbow in the sky and He said, I'm never going to flood the whole earth again. Now, I don't know though, if you live in Louisiana right now, you might need to be building your boat. It might be a little late to build a boat now, but you might hope you had one before all that flooding down there started. But you know, yes, there's going to be local floods, but He's never going to flood the whole earth like that. Well, if we understand that, then that is one of those things we necessarily divide the things that God's talking to us from the things He's not talking to us. We divide those stories, of those accounts in the Bible where people did things. We rightly divide which ones did things that God said were good things to do and which ones did things that God condemned and said, don't do that. We divide those things so that we know which ones are examples to follow and which ones are examples of things not to do and not to be like. That's an important division. And then we see that some divisions are helpful in pleasing God. I said we were going to look at three there. There's actually four. Some are helpful in pleasing God. And one example of that is dividing into our classes. It can be a very helpful thing. Titus 2, verses 3 through 5 says, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becomes holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So here's one example where we might say, okay, well, if the older woman are to teach the younger woman, mightn't it be a good thing for them to have a class that allows that to take place? Well, sure. That could be a good thing that would help them. Now, do we have to do it that way? No, I mean, they could just do a one-on-one, you know, each woman could just mentor a younger woman, I suppose. They wouldn't have to have a class to do that. But a class could be a helpful way to please God. And we divide things sometimes like that by sex, male and female. There are things men need to study and talk about that women don't. There are things women need to study and talk about that men don't. And so sometimes we divide our into classes based on that. Sometimes by age. You know, there are some things that a 18-year-old understands that a 4-year-old doesn't understand. If they're in the same class together, they're not going to understand. We might say even by maturity, by spiritual maturity. A newborn babe in Christ needs certain teaching that somebody who's been a Christian for 30 or 40 years shouldn't need. Sometimes they do, but they shouldn't need. And then sometimes we may, and especially in large congregations, they may have 7 or 8 different Sunday morning Bible classes based on different subjects, different topics that they're studying. And different ones go to different classes depending on what they're interested in studying about. And so by subject. So here's some ways where we may divide these classes up in order to help us be pleasing to God, but it's not necessary. It's not a sin if a congregation says, hey, we're going to all have class, one big class together. And the older ones are going to teach the younger ones, and we're going to talk to the children and help them understand these things better. And if they want to do that way, that's fine. But we might say, well, it'd be more helpful for us to divide it up so that we can do it a little differently and a little better. But then we also see another division that's helpful in pleasing God is separating from our parents. We've got to grow up and move out at some point. In Matthew 19, verses 4 and 5, he said to them, have you not read that he that made them at the beginning made them male and female? And he said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. He said, there's a time where it comes for a child to leave home and go get married and take care of have your own household. You know, it's hard for a household to have two husbands, two men that are both trying to be heads of that household. That doesn't work well. It's hard for there to be a household with two wives, two women, two mothers who are both trying to be the mother in that house. It does not work well. It can work, you know, in an unusual situation or in a difficult situation. It can work temporarily for a while, you know, and sometimes we have those things happen, but well, that's not God's plan for it to stay that way and remain that way. It's to grow up and establish your own household. That's the way God intended it. And that's helpful in pleasing God if we do that. There's a lot less strife. I know if my mother and my wife lived in the same house, I mean, it's one thing we go and visit for a couple of days or we go together, you know, maybe for a week or something like that. If my mother and my wife lived in the same house permanently, my dad and me wouldn't be able to live there. It wouldn't work. It's just not going to work. You can't. Two women are going to, you know, even if they get along, there's still going to be conflict there. They get along much better when they each have their own kitchen and they each have their own bedroom and they each have their own husband and they, you know, that's the way God intended these things, for each one to have their own. God wasn't a communist, by the way, in case you were wondering. He said, "Let each man have his own wife and each wife her own husband." That's the way He intended it. And so we need to follow that if we really, it'll be helpful in pleasing God if we'll do that. But then there are some divisions that are harmless and allow us to still be pleasing to God. As we look at these things, we want to notice a few of them. One is a geographical separation of congregations. Now, you know, we'd be hard-pressed if we had to drive to Memphis every Sunday to go to worship. But what if we had to drive to St. Louis? Well, we'd have to leave on Saturday, wouldn't we? What if the only church in the whole United States was, you know, in Denver, Colorado or somewhere? Well, we'd have to drive for days to get there. That wouldn't work, would it? So it just makes sense that because of the geography, there's going to be churches. What if the only church was still the one in Jerusalem that started out, you know, and everybody had to go all the way to Jerusalem for church? Well, that's not going to work. That's crazy. The geography makes it so that we have to have congregations in separate places. 1 Corinthians 16, 19, and 20. He says, "The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house." And so he talks about, hey, there's churches, not just one church in Asia, there's bunches of churches scattered around Asia. And so geography will help. Sometimes dividing personnel and resources, that's harmless and can be beneficial sometimes. Now sometimes too much dividing of personnel and resources waters it down so much to where you don't have enough resources and personnel to do anything. And that can be a problem. Then you need to join together so that you make have more resources and more personnel. But in Acts 15 and verses 38 and 40, Paul didn't think it was good to take him, that's John Mark, with them. So because he had departed from them in Pamphylia and didn't go with them to the work. The contention was really sharp between them, so that they departed asunder, in other words, they divided from one another. And Barnabas took Mark, and he went to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas, and he went to a different direction. And so they divided, but they didn't divide and quit doing, it wasn't like one of them had a false teaching, and so they had to divide over that. They divided over a disagreement, which, maybe they shouldn't have divided for that reason, but what wound up happening as a result of it was that twice as much missionary work got done because Barnabas and Mark went this way and Paul and Silas went that way. And this may be a case of God working things together for good for those that love Him, because He wound up working it out. And in the long run, Paul came to really appreciate John Mark later on and begged for Mark to come to see him because he really was a help to him. So we see that. And there are probably some others that we could take a look at if time allowed. But we want to look then at some that are sinful. There are some divisions that are sinful. So don't. Instead, please God. And we want to be sure we avoid these divisions. There are cliques. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 11 and 12. It's been declared to me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, every one of you says, I am of Paul, and I have Apollos, and I have Cephas, and I have Christ. Boy, does that sound like the religious world we live in today, or what? Where do you go to church? Well, I go to this church, I go to that church, I go to this one. Sounds just like our religious world today, where people are dividing themselves up into these little cliques. It's not the geographical thing that we talked about earlier. They may be right across the street from each other, but they can't get along. They're disagreeing and fussing and fighting with each other. And that's a sinful type of division that God doesn't like. And there may be racial divisions. Galatians 2, verses 11 and 12, when Peter came to Antioch, Paul says, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. Before some came from James, he ate with the Gentiles. But when those from Jerusalem came, he withdrew and separated himself because he was afraid of those that were of the circumcision. He separated himself based on the race. He was Jewish, they were Gentile. But he was doing okay. He was with them at first. But then he sinfully drew himself back. And Paul says, I had to withstand him to his face because he was to be blamed for that. So we don't need to have racial separation among Christians. That's not something that God approves of. There may be personality fights. 1 Corinthians 1:10, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus, that you speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. When it comes to spiritual matters of faith, there should be no division. We should believe the same Bible as the other person believes. We should depend on what God's Word says, not what I think or you think. We need to go back to God's Word, and that will get rid of those divisions and those personality fights. Well, it's my opinion that this, and it's my thought that this, and we won't fight over just, well, you're kind of rude to me. Well, sometimes somebody might be a little snippy with us or something. That's no reason for us to have division among the church. And then, of course, social status. Galatians 3:28, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Doesn't matter how much money we make, it doesn't matter which side of the tracks we live on, it doesn't matter what kind of house we live in, or any of those kind of things, who our parents were, or how much political power. None of those things are supposed to matter in Christ. Social status is not something that we divide over as Christians. And then there's economic favoritism. James 2, verses 1 through 4. My brethren, do not have the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with respect of persons. For if there comes into your assembly a man with a gold ring and good apparel, and there also comes in a poor man in filthy clothing, and you have respect to the one wearing the fancy clothes, and you say to him, sit in a good place, and you say to the poor man, you stand there or sit here on the floor. He says, are you not then partial in yourselves? And you have become judges with evil thoughts. We need to beware that we don't have these kinds of favoritism that we play. And then, of course, there's opinion division. We're going to have different opinions. And that's okay. It's no reason for us to divide, though. We need to understand that we should never divide over our opinions. Romans 14, he talks about one thinks he can eat everything. One's a vegetarian, only eats plants. Don't either one of you judge the other one. Don't either one of you try to make the other one fit your way of doing it. Just let it go. One thinks one day is great, one thinks the other. Let it go. Doesn't matter. It's not a matter of faith. It's not a matter of the Scriptures teaching us that it has to be a certain way. So as we conclude then, we've noticed four different types. Some that are necessary to please God. Some that are helpful in pleasing God. Some that are harmless and allow us to please God. And some that are sinful. These four different types of divisions. Are you dividing what should be divided? Or are you dividing what should not be divided? Are you doing what you ought to do? Making the separation where it needs to be made, but keeping the unity where there needs to be unity. It's difficult. It's a challenge. And probably none of us get it right all the time. But we need to be striving to divide where God wants us to divide and have unity where God wants us to have unity. What's more important than that, though, is don't be divided from God by sin. If we live in our sin, if we refuse to turn to Him and come to Him, we're going to ultimately be separated, divided from God. And when we're separated from God by our sin, if we remain that way, and if we die in that condition, there is only one place remaining for us to go. And no one wants to go there that's in their right mind. If you have a need to respond to God's invitation this morning, if you need to change your path, if you need to divide from some things, some sinful things that you have in your life, or if you need to perhaps stop being divided from some things that you shouldn't have been divided from, if you've been separated from God and you need to come to Him, you can do that if you believe in Him, if you're willing to repent of your sins, confess Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, and be buried with Him in baptism to wash your sins away. You can become one with Christ and one with God, and you can have your sins forgiven. If you have a need to respond, please do so as we stand and as we sing.